You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Monday, 27 July. We got U.S. durable goods order data due late this afternoon. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, Kenyon Yana Prime XBT. I'm going to go back to some results from last week. Alphabet, massive capex spend. Their free cash flow is negative for the first time. Well, I zoom out 20 years. First time in 20 years. And then Intel, lots of moving parts there. Stock was up and then stock was getting slammed. Jacques Conradi, CEO, Peregrine Capital, technology advancements, and where's the biggest macro concern for local markets. And then we're going to chat with PSG Wealth using tax allowances effectively to help grow your savings and investments. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. Morning headlines, MoneyWeb, the Fashini Group slumps to levels last seen in 2010. Group has lost 24 billion rand of market value in a year. Business Day, Finance Minister in race to salvage PIC board after quorum collapses. Minister moves to restore the board after mass resignations leaves it unable to act. Morning markets, US was mixed. S&P was up, but 0.05%. NASDAQ was down 1.2%. Over in the east, it is all green this morning. Sydney 0.6% higher. Tokyo up 0.2%. And Hong Kong almost 1% higher. Tencent, a little over 2% up. Commodities, mostly green. Gold futures, $4,102 an ounce. Brent is the red, $92.84. Platinum is $1,628. And palladium, $1,271. The rand is 16.72. Bitcoin is 65,200. And top 40 opening call, a very green open, 1,340 points higher. That is 1.33% up.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Kenyon Yana from Prime XBT. Kia, appreciate the early morning time. As I said in the intro, Alphabet and Intel. Let's kick off with Alphabet. Pushed up their capex spend to around about $200 billion. Numbers are just giant here. And cloud was surging, almost doubling over the period. SpaceX and Anthropic, of which they hold shares, one listed, one unlisted. The mark-to-market helped a bunch. Your thoughts? I mean, I said in the intro, cash-free negative for the first time in 20 years. They're going to say, that's fine. They're building for the future. Do you buy the story?
You know, Si, I think if you had to look at the investment track record of Alphabet, I mean, you'd probably say they're the best hedge fund ever, just looking at the unlisted investments. But I think one thing I was doing prior to the results was just looking at the chart and really doing some technical analysis. Mm-hmm. And what you can see since March, since the March highs, there has been quite rightly almost a war between the bulls and the bears, because you can see the RSI is quite rightly very neutral. You saw that it's been going down since its March highs, but yet the fundamental story is one of the best fundamental stories in this AI trade. I mean, you look at all the different operating segments. Search is still really kicking on, up 17% year on year. The subscription-based business is also still growing, but I think their biggest earnings accretor in the future is still going to be the Gemini models. And I think when you think about it, the market is just really quite concerned about the level of capex and also the delay in Gemini 3.5.
Yeah, there has been a delay. And they're pushing that and saying, no, all is fine. And in fact, they're bringing out some pieces to try and alleviate concerns around that. And of course, you didn't mention the giant one there. I mean, inside of Google sits YouTube, which is a Netflix all on its own.
When you look at it, the amount of people that actually watch YouTube is quite astounding. Yeah. Because when I was doing some research recently, the most watched streaming service is not Netflix, it's not Prime Video, it's YouTube.
Yeah.
And thinking about the difference in the business models, where one has zero capex on that business unit, and you look at Netflix, you look at Disney, and how much they're spending on capex in order to get more eyes on screens, you literally can't really compare these businesses. Chalk and Cheese, YouTube is still doing very well.
Yeah, 100%. Let's quickly switch to Intel. Q2 came out at 23rd. Operationally, really, really good. Revenue over 16 billion. That was up 25%. Fastest growth since 2011. But a headline GAAP loss because of mark-to-market charge. And those are the shares for the US government. The market initially really liked it, then faded, and then kind of collapsed a little bit on Friday. Your thoughts on Intel, which is, you know, the old guys of the sort of tech stack?
Yeah, I think they're on really the opposite side of the tech stack in comparison to Alphabet. And I think what they are in, they are a manufacturer, and that's what they do. They fabricate the chips that go into these data centers. I think I think the operational performance is really it's really turned around. I think when you were back 12 months ago and you looked at the results, it's really quite rightly different. And I think that having the big brother of the US government backing you and really putting you in their plans in order to become self-sufficient in the semiconductor microchip manufacturing, I think it really stands well for them. But I think when you really compare Alphabet and Intel, it's like big brother and very small little brother. Because I mean, if you look at the revenues, it's quite funny. But I think there is an investment case to make for Intel just purely from the fact that the U.S. government has a stake in it.
Yeah, and I get your point. What was Google revenue? Going to top half a trillion, $497 billion for this financial year. Intel might do $60 billion. They really are little brother. We'll leave it there. Gunanyana Prime XPT, always appreciate the early morning time. The Standard Flexible Income Fund delivers capital preservation and consistent top quartile inflation-beating returns. Let your money keep working with Stanlib Asset Management even after you retire.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting with Jacques and Roddy, he's CEO of Peregrine Capital. Jacques, appreciate the time. Your semi-annual investor letters just come out. This one, of course, for mid-year. You make the point loud and clear. First page, world is contending two major forces at one: rising geopolitical uncertainty and emergence of human-level machine intelligence. Let's start with the first one, geopolitical uncertainty. I mean, it started with the Venezuelan president, but the big story, of course, was the attack on Iran, which is playing out in oil prices, which then plays out into interest rates, inflation, and pain for the consumer.
You know, it's really been a wild year on the geopolitical front. And it's funny, when I started writing this letter on the first day of July, it kind of looked like we were resolved as that. The memorandum of understanding and oil prices were nice and low. And then we had small escalations and then medium escalations and now big escalation. And now we're right back where we were a few months ago. So it's just really hard to predict how these things come out. And still on this one, it's pretty hard for me to see what the palatable outcome would be to both Iran and the US for settling this one. So it remains just a big uncertainty on how this resolves. I just tend to think it's probably the way of the world right now, where there's this long-running building conflict between the US and China at the back of things, but that's driving a lot of these other smaller conflicts maybe in the short.
You mentioned China, and we've got a conflict with China. It's not a hot war like Iran, but we've had the trade war ongoing, I mean, since Trump's first term. This is now a decade in, which, to your point, is kind of like the conflicts happening around the world. Not always going to be missiles, but certainly going to be more conflict than maybe we were used to a decade ago.
Exactly. And I think this, I mean, AI, the other key thing we're speaking about, is probably also driving this, because, I mean, I think yesterday the US came out and said this leading new open source Kimi model that China released was distilled from the leading US lab. They've obviously got limits on what semiconductor equipments, what chips China can buy. So I think this thing will run at the back end, because both of them, other countries, realize this will probably be the most important thing for who dominates the world over the next 10 or 20 years. So I think you'll have a lot of other skirmishes, but I think at the back end, that's probably going to drive this. And I just cannot see how this goes away.
Yeah, and that was your second big point for the year, was the emergence of human-level machine intelligence. And it's only going to get more and more. You mentioned that you had first mentioned it, I think you said in 2022, but it's going to be a feature of your biannual letter simply because of advancements and how much it's playing into the investment landscape, but also just the day-to-day. You mentioned, Kimi, we had ChatGPT hacking Hugging Face over the weekend.
Yes.
Again, where you started in beginning of July, you're writing a different letter 3 weeks later.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just a function of us being on this exponential curve. I don't think AI improvement is a linear straight line. It's going exponential and we're in the vertical liftoff part of it. And you can almost just feel this in terms of the number of mornings I wake up and I check my Twitter feed and there's been some crazy thing that happened overnight. As you said, this is where the AI escaped its containment and just hugged enough, hacked another company to get the answer to a question it was asked. And obviously Kimmy. And I literally told my friends, like, you can feel that we're living in the singularity moment where things are on takeoff. And I just constantly tell our team that the rate of change in the world has picked up massively over the last 12 months. And I think we should prepare for this to be the new way of things. I do not think it's going back. So it's a bit of a wild time, but it's certainly very exciting to figure out what to do in these times.
Absolutely. The genie's not back in the bottle. If anything, it's just going to get faster. And of course, then the big story is around the investment case. I mean, you know, and we talk Mag 7 a lot on this show, and Mag 7 hasn't had the greatest year, but the concerns around AI infrastructure build out, you comment that this misses the point. Yes, there's money being spent, but there's revenue growth. Those Alphabet numbers, that cloud growth, those were staggering numbers.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that the simplest way to look at it would be to say the Mag 7, which is the largest companies the world have ever seen, decided about 12 or 18 months ago to send every dollar they make to these semiconductors companies to make chips for them. And like with hindsight, it's such an obvious trade. You should probably just buy the companies getting all this money from them. Yep. And you should maybe just press pause on the Mag 7 until we figure out exactly how much they're going to spend. And fortunately, we figured out the one leg and we bought the semiconductors. Unfortunately, I didn't think through the second leg, which would be, firstly, these companies have less available cash flow in the short term. And secondly, people have to sell something in tech to fund the buying they want to do in semiconductors. And the obvious ones is you sell some of your other tech basket to buy these ones. So we got the semiconductor leg right and we were a bit slow on the other leg. And as you said, these Google numbers that came out was very interesting. I mean, their CapEx is revised up again for this year to $200 billion. But the key thing now is this morning when all the sell side reports came out, so Goldman's, JP Morgan and Morgan Stanley, all now have CapEx going up from $200 billion this year to between $360 and $380 billion next year, which is just staggering numbers. Wow. These are like almost double what people were just 6 months ago expecting for next year. So if anything, we've been having a lot of debates on these results to say it clearly shows that 2027 is still going to be a massive shortage year for all of the semiconductors with these kind of numbers coming out. So prices will probably stay high and even though these things are up a lot, they might just continue to do very well while the CapEx numbers keep going up.
We might not see 10xing in a year, but I concur. This is not over. Maybe the easy money, I hate the phrase, but maybe it has been made. A last question, then the picture for South Africa. And my sense is that this remains completely unclear because it's actually all just about the oil price.
Yeah, I think you're so right there. We just had this real nice period at the start of this year when we just saw foreign interest really pick up in SA. All the companies we were talking to had foreign investors phoning them to set up meetings to look at SA because the political story had stabilized and there was potentially a real recovery story. So I think the political situation, while not great, at least the GNU is holding. It looks like the ANC is trying to put some pressure on these municipalities where the money's getting wasted. So you can make a story there, but now the consumer's under pressure because they've got to spend all this money on the oil price and taxi fare. So unfortunately, this potentially good SA story has just been put on ice. And exactly as you say, we don't know when this will end.
Yeah. And again, beginning of the month, we were looking at maybe another R3 in the fuel price. And now we're looking at no change. July's been a month. We'll leave it there. Jacques Conradie, CEO, Peregrine Capital. Appreciate the time. Give your money the return at once without taking a flight with the StanLib Global Select Fund, an offshore equity fund submanaged by JP Morgan Asset Management.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting now with Thomas Perry, Head of Sales, PSG Wealth. Thomas, appreciate the early morning time. July is savings month, but if we go back to February, Budget 2026, Finance Minister actually gave us a fair bunch that we can use around tax to be more efficient with both savings and investings. Tax-free account limit increases, tax-deductible retirement contribution increases, single discretionary allowance increases. There's a lot we can do to be clever and to be smart around saving and investing these days.
Yeah, morning, Simon. Thank you very much for having me and a warm welcome to all your listeners. So I think you're completely right. I think if you look effective 1 March 26, both the annual contribution limit for tax-free savings accounts and tax-deductible retirement contribution thresholds have increased to 46,000 and 430,000 respectively. And I think if you look at it just from a tax-free savings perspective, on the 1st of March 2015, National Treasury introduced tax-free savings accounts to encourage higher levels of household savings. And As mentioned, since March 26, that amount has now been increased from 36,000 to 46,000. And the unused portion per year doesn't roll over into subsequent years. And you've got a lifetime contribution limit of 500,000 Rand. And I think the benefit of something like a tax-free account is that it's tax exempt. So there's no income tax, dividend tax, or capital gain. So the returns that you generate from an investment portfolio such as a tax-free can be long-term beneficial.
They absolutely can. I mean, I've run some of the numbers and they get really, really big off over the long term in terms of what we save on tax. And a lot of folks might say, hang on, you know, 36 to 46,000, it's just 10,000 a year. But again, get it in sooner rather than later to give it more time for that growth.
Yeah, no, 100%. I think every time we speak to individuals or clients on these type of topics, I mean, saving initially might seem like a daunting task, especially when you're aiming for long-term goals, such as buying a house or funding your child's education or retiring comfortably. And I always refer to the analogy, much like building a house, financial success isn't built overnight. I think similar to the discipline that you apply in your everyday life, it's a steady process of laying down one brick at a time, and each contribution you make towards to either to your tax-free or your retirement annuity becomes a foundational brick helping you build your secure financial future over time.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, the retirement contribution threshold, this was, I think it was 350. They're up to 430,000 a year or 27.5%, whichever is smaller, to be clearer about that. I mean, this is a chunky number. And what's interesting here is this reduces your tax liability in the current financial year. There's an immediate benefit to investors, and we can take that tax reduction and we could save it, we could put it into a tax-free account. There's a lot we can do with it, and the benefit is significant.
Yeah, no, you're completely right in that. I think that's why it's important that you make the most out of these tax-advantaged vehicles to make sure that over the long term you can benefit the best. I mean, it's always easy for someone to obviously get their tax return, but then it's about how do you spend that tax return and making sure that you use that money as wisely as possible and use it to contribute into your tax-free or your retirement annuity. And I mean, even if you look at since September 24, obviously the two-pot system was introduced on the 1st of September, and it offers further incentives to those saving for retirement. And as a result, South Africans now have access to emergency funds while safeguarding a better retirement outcome, as all the retirement contributions are now split into two components. Mm-hmm. You've got your savings component, which is one third of your contribution, and a retirement component, which is two thirds of your contribution. So, I mean, for example, if you have monthly contributions to reward your retirement annuity, and let's say, for example, it's 6,000 Rand, 2,000 Rand would be allocated towards your savings component and 4,000 towards your retirement component. And I think the benefit of saving for retirement and the advantage of the two-pot system is obviously you then have emergency savings, and individuals making monthly or yearly contributions have access to that savings component. You also have increased savings retention because the retirement component is safeguarded against the pre-retirement withdrawals, keeping you invested in the market through the cycle, and then also encouraging individuals to participate in retirement savings because the two-pot system offers liquidity through the savings component, making it more attractive option for those who would otherwise avoid saving for retirement due to liquidity concerns. And then I think, as you mentioned, there's obviously that tax relief for contributions.
Yeah. Yeah, and they're two-pot, and I agree with you 100%. I think the two-pot is absolutely a game-changer. It keeps us locked in, and sometimes we need to get some of that cash. Life throws curveballs, make no mistake. Now we can. We leave it there. Thomas Berry, Head of Sales, PSG Wealth. Appreciate the early morning time. That's it for today. Our poll for today is from that last conversation. Are you using available tax allowances to their full benefit? You can go have your vote on LinkedIn. And on Friday, we were chatting with Keir. We were talking from Prime XPT, of course. We were talking around Mr. Price Update. He showed some early promise on the NKD acquisition, but the market's not liking it still. We asked if the company got it right in the deal. Over half said too early to tell. Quarter said no, risks remain. The rest, a minority, said yes, looking good. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. We're live every weekday morning. The MoneyWeb website's in the app, 6:30 a.m. Podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie Nobukle, Nicole Sabut, to you for listening. My guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow. What we get wrong about bubbles.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.